How many of you have ever been lost before? And probably all of us. Some of us might not want to admit it, but I remember getting lost when I was in high school, and it was after a basketball game, and a bunch of us decided, okay, we're going to go to Friendly's. Let's all meet at Friendly's. And this was a place that I'd been by many times. You know, it was just a few miles from my house. But this was different because I had just gotten my driver's license. And as we all know, it's different when you go somewhere and you're just along for the ride and when you actually have to find the place. Now, Friendly's from my parents' house took all of one turn. Literally, you drove down the road that my parents, that we lived on, took a right and followed it to Friendly's. Like literally, that is all that happened. But as it were that night, I went off just thinking, oh yeah, I know where Friendly's is. Drove around for a while and sheepishly ended up back at my house asking my parents, how do I get to Friendly's? Right, it's not a good feeling being lost. On the other hand, I've had better times of being lost. During college, I was out on kind of a mission training trip over the summer in Fort Collins, Colorado, and this is after all of our staff had left, and all of the students were just there. We're just living on our own, and we decided one weekend to go camping. We went to a camping place in one of the parks there. We did some hiking and you know, played the guitar on the campfire, all that good stuff. But the last day we were there, we decided that about a dozen of us were going to go for a really big hike and do some real mountain climbing kind of stuff. And so we set off and we climbed over one mountain, then we got to another one, and when we got to the top of this pretty big mountain, I'm not saying it's Everest or anything, but it was pretty big, a lot of climbing involved. And when we got to the top, we saw that this mountain like connected to another one, and there was this just gorgeous pass where on both sides there were canyons and valleys, and we said, okay, we have to do that, we have to go over that. And so we crossed that pass, and it was gorgeous, it was wonderful. But when we got to the other side, we realized we were in a different park, and we weren't exactly sure how to get back. We'd already come so far that it wasn't, we couldn't just retrace our steps. And so a couple of us decided, okay, we're going to run ahead. We're going to leave landmarks for you guys to follow. We're going to find our car. We'll get you. And so we did that. And, you know, it was pretty, there was some anxiety at the time. We're running, trying to find our cars and wondering if we're going to get where we go. And people back at the camp are waiting for us. And not a great feeling, but it was worth it in the end. It was just this amazing experience, just being out there, hiking, finding our way. But regardless, most of us do almost everything we can to guard against being lost. And that's totally natural. No one really sets out or enjoys that experience. Now, thankfully, the technology now has made it's becoming almost impossible to get lost, right? Like, even if you don't know where you are, you can get out your phone and, you know, find your location and hopefully find your way back to somewhere familiar. We were just talking to someone here, and they were saying, you know, their kids have a locator so that wherever they go, their kids know where they are just in case. It's becoming almost impossible to get lost, at least physically. But there are other ways of being lost. There are ways of experiencing those emotions of being lost. If you've been to a foreign country, maybe if you don't know the language, there's this feeling of like, I'm lost. I don't really know how to get by here. Or maybe you're in a different culture and you don't understand, like, what are the norms? Why are people doing things this way? It's a feeling of being lost. Maybe you've moved to a new location. You've come from a place where you know every street, like the back of your hand. You know where to go for ice cream. You know where to go, where the good restaurant. And now you're in this new place, and it's like a blank slate. Or you're in a new job, and you're not sure exactly what you're doing. Or you're getting into a new topic in school. And sometimes we say that, you know, I feel lost. Maybe you've been lost or do feel lost in your vocation. What am I supposed to do with my life? Maybe you've entered into an unexpected life stage something you never thought you'd deal with, but yet here you are and trying to figure out, how do I navigate this? And we can also be lost in our faith. You know, maybe we've had this view of God that is a certain way, the world that is a certain way, and now I'm experiencing things and it's just not lining up. Lostness comes in at key times in the Bible story as well. How many of you can think of a time where lostness comes into play? Yeah. Yeah, the Exodus is this classic example. The Hebrew people are liberated out of slavery in Egypt and they wander the desert, right, for 40 years. They're lost. How do I get there? How do I deal with this new place, right? Yeah, the passage that we read with Jesus. He's in the wilderness for 40 days, right? I also think of the exile, where everyone is so certain. This is a lostness both of place and of faith. Like we live in Jerusalem and we have the temple and nothing can happen. And then all of a sudden Babylon comes in and destroys the temple and the Israelites are sent out into the empire of Babylon in different cities. And there's this sense of lostness, and you can read it in the Psalms and in other places. What do we do? Where are we? And what do we do here? Now, all of these are experiences that God's people have had of being lost. And so this week, we're talking about the practice of getting lost. But in some ways, it's less a practice of lostness. We don't have to go out and get lost. It's more about how do we live when we find ourselves in seasons of lostness. Barbara Brown Taylor, the author of An Altar in the World, which is our basis for this whole summer, she says, "I know it is a stretch to call this a spiritual practice, but perhaps that is the point. Anything can become a spiritual practice once you are willing to approach it that way. Once you let it bring you to your knees and show you what is real, including who you really are, who other people are, and how near God can be when you have lost your way." So all of us experience this thing called being lost. Barbara Brown Taylor notes a few of the ways that lostness can be a place where we find God, or better, where God finds us. And so I want to talk about three of those, I guess you could call them spiritual benefits of getting lost this morning. And the first of those is the experience of vulnerability, this experience of need. Jesus in the wilderness is tempted, right? Is tempted by Satan, and Satan says, "You know, I will turn these stones into bread, right? You don't have to worry about where your next meal comes from, and you can feed everyone else." And Jesus says this very profound thing. He says, "Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What Jesus has come into contact with as he fasts, as he is lost in the desert, is this deep sense of need. And it's not just a need for literal physical bread. It's a need for God. That's something that we can only experience when we're lost for a time. The Israelites in the desert, what do they experience? They experience this question of where do we get our next meal? We don't know our surroundings. We don't know how to make do, how to provide for ourselves. What do we do? And so it's there that they experience the water from the rock and the manna from heaven where God feeds them. They experience their vulnerability, their need for God. It's something they can't produce or create for themselves. And in that experience of vulnerability, they wanted to go back, right? They would rather be slaves and know where their next meal is coming from than be vulnerable in the freedom of God's reign. And so they have to learn faith in the wilderness. Jesus in the wilderness is trained in what is essential to his life, what is essential to his mission, what is essential to the way that God has called him to. And it's Barbara Brown Taylor writes again, she says, "The point is to give up on the sufficiency of your own resources. The point is to admit that you are lost, and maybe even to allow that you are in no hurry to be found." When we're lost, sometimes we have to ask for directions. And I know stereotypically men just don't do that. Now, I don't have a problem asking for directions. If I get lost, I will ask for directions, right? But there are other ways where I know that I do not want to show my vulnerability. I don't want to admit my needs. I don't want it to depend on someone else to get by. And yet, we all need to do that. That's part of what faith is. And so vulnerability is something that we encounter when we're lost, that we need to encounter about ourselves, our need for God and our need for others. Being lost also makes us more attentive and more aware and more alert to our surroundings. You know, in our cars sometimes, and planes and stuff, we have autopilot or cruise control or whatever. And sometimes we know what it's like to be on autopilot, right, when we're driving. Where, you know, this past year, a couple of years, they've changed the 280 and 75 exits, right, just south of us. Now, how many of you have been driving on 75 and you mean to go on 280, but all of a sudden you've missed the exit, right? Because they switched sides and you've been on autopilot. You've done the same thing over and over and over again for years. You've exited onto 280 on the left and now it's on the right. But we go on autopilot. We aren't aware of our surroundings. We aren't alert to them. And some of that is just normal and natural. We can't be paying attention all the time in our lives. But sometimes being lost, when we miss that exit, all of a sudden we become alert. We become attentive, right? And some of that is because of anxiety. When we're afraid, when we sense danger, right? Sometimes we feel our ears almost literally perk up. We become more aware and attentive. Now, we don't necessarily always want that anxiety or that fear, but if we embrace lostness, sometimes it allows us to experience something new. If we can be lost and not anxious, but if we can hold on to that alertness that lostness brings, that attentiveness, it allows us to experience new things. A few years ago, as you know, Lauren and I spent our 10th anniversary in Hawaii, and we spent that week, you know, it's an experience of lostness. I hadn't been there before. And so we're just noticing everything, right? We're noticing the smell of the flowers and the sunrise over the water and all of these just gorgeous things. And then we came back. And I remember just a few days after we'd come back, and I was running over the Summit Street Bridge here in the Point. And I had this moment where I just looked and I was like, wow, you know, this is gorgeous, right? The sun was coming up over the water and the houses on one side and the bridge and the river, and you could see downtown from there. And it was this moment where I'd come back and, but what had happened was I'd gotten lost and my senses had been piqued. I was more attentive. I was more alert. And this allowed me to see this, have this new experience of something that I was even familiar with before. It's like Dorothy goes to Oz and she's lost. And then she comes back and she experiences her home in a new way. Sometimes getting lost just allows us to be more aware and alert. And so Jesus, we see in our text today, he comes back from the wilderness. And did you notice where he came back to? Right, he came back to the synagogue, and it's in his hometown. So this is in Nazareth. This is a familiar place for him. But as he goes to the synagogue, he experiences it in a new way. He reads this text from Isaiah, which had probably been read over and over and over again, and yet his experience is new. He says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your presence." And you have people around him who are like, "Wait a second, this is just the same old Jesus, right? We know this guy. Who's he?" But he's gotten lost, and now he's come back more aware of what God is doing and what God has called him to in his life. And so in our lostness, we can experience vulnerability. We can experience an increased attentiveness and alertness to our surroundings. And the third thing that lostness can do is it can increase our compassion for the lost. The lost, I should say. We read earlier Deuteronomy 10. 17 through 19. And it speaks very clearly. And this is not unique to this passage. This is something that is repeated time and again in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. It says, have compassion for the stranger because you were strangers. Have compassion for slaves because you were slaves. God says to the people, you know what it is to be lost. And so have compassion for the lost among you. Right? If we've lived in the same place our entire lives, if we've gone to the same school and hung out with the same people our entire lives, it's hard for us to identify with what it is that that new kid is experiencing in school, right? But if we've been the new kid, we know what that experience is like. And we see that new kid with different eyes because we've been there. Right? If for you, school and work, whatever it is, has come naturally your whole life, it's hard to identify with that person who just doesn't get it, with whom it's just not clicking. But if we've had an experience where we just couldn't understand something, we look at that person who just doesn't get it and we experience them in a different way with compassion. If we've grown up with a healthy, supportive family, sometimes it's hard to identify with someone who grew up in a broken, dysfunctional family. But if we've been there, we have compassion on that person, I hope. If we've grown up and we've been the majority, we've looked and thought like everyone else around me, it's hard to identify with that person who doesn't have that experience, who's a minority, who feels out of place. But if we've been in that minority experience, hopefully we look around and we have compassion on others who might feel out of place. Now, some of these things we can't control, but we can find ways of identifying. If we have ever experienced any kind of lostness, hopefully we can get in touch with that lostness and look at others with compassion rather than judgment. And maybe we can even find a way of getting lost, of just going and being in a place with people where we feel out of place, where we don't know what's going on. And we can take that experience of lostness and use it to breed compassion in us for others. Now, I'll confess today that I have been, over the past few years, I believe, in a bit of a season of lostness in my faith journey. Where it's not that I don't believe in God, or I'm not a Christian or anything like that, but there are many things that I believed about God, that I was taught about God and the Christian faith, that as I live life, as I have different experiences, as I examine these things more deeply, and as I listen to others' experiences, these things I was taught and believed just don't line up. They just don't work anymore. And so I have these questions. Who is God? What is it to have faith? What is it? What does it even mean to follow Jesus? And this experience is a kind of lostness. And again, it's not that God is gone or my faith is gone. It's just that I'm, ironically, I guess, less familiar with them. The more I dig, the more I think, the more I look, dive into these questions, the less familiar I am with God or the Christian faith, the less sure I am about this stuff. And yet I can also say at the same time that in this season, I have sensed the vibrant beating of God's heart closer, even as I'm less certain about the path that I'm on or who exactly God is. I'm finding myself more alert and aware of the ways that God is moving and the places that God can be found around me that aren't as clear and concrete as they were before. I'm finding that God is less graspable and less explainable and less confinable and less comfortable. And yet, I'm finding my soul more at home in the God who is both greater than the great and smaller than the small. Or in the words of St. Gregory Palamas, he is everywhere and nowhere, he is everything and nothing. or as a Cistercian monk of New Clairvaux has put it, God is at the core, God is other than the core, God is within the core, and all through the core and beyond the core, closer to the core than the core. Are you following me? It's okay if you're not. Because ours is not a God. Our God is not a God who can be known only in predictability, who can be known only in past Sunday school lessons. Our God is a God who will make us uncomfortable and disoriented and lost. And the second we think we have a handle on God, this God is somewhere else, or he wouldn't be God. As the mystic Traherne has put it, when you enter into this world, it is an illimited field of variety and beauty where you may lose yourself in the multitude of wonders and delights. But it is a happy loss to lose oneself in admiration at one's own transcendent happiness and to find God in exchange for oneself, which we then do when we see him in his gifts and adore his glory. Now, some of that's some mystical stuff, and maybe I've lost some of you in that. But friends, that's okay. Because maybe it is in the moment that we admit our lostness, our inability to understand and comprehend God in fullness, in the moment we recognize that God is this transcendent mystery, maybe it is in that moment of lostness that we're really on the right path after all. Amen.